Dear Father in heaven, Lord, today is a sweet day for us as a church family and bringing a new baby to you, of welcoming new friends, a new family, of celebrating your blessings to us, and asking, Lord, for your continued guidance and strength. I pray you'd help us to move quickly, things would happen quickly, that the work that we have could make a decided and dramatic difference in this community very quickly. Bless us now today with your presence. Forgive us for our sins. We don't want there to be a single thing that stands between us, but you could speak to each heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A.W. Tozer wrote that God is looking for men in whose hands his glory is safe. God is looking for men in whose hands his glory is safe. Are you such a soul? Are you who God has been looking for? If the enemy of souls were here, it would be very quick to condemn each and every one of you and deny that there is any value in you at all. But it's not his turn to speak. But still, the question, it remains open and personal for each one here today. Can God safely entrust his glory into your hands? After the ascension of Jesus from the Mount of Olives, his apostles ran into some very insulting opposition while they were going about being what Christ had called them to be. It's very early on. You remember Peter and John were ascending up to the temple courts in Jerusalem, and they were passing through the beautiful gate. And there was a fellow there who had never walked a day in his life, and he was begging. You know the story, but I'd like you to look just for a moment at the exact words of what happened there. In Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, we'll look at verses 6 through 10. Acts 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Well, this, of course, stirs up a lot of attention, and the very same priests who had crucified Christ had Peter and John arrested, and they held them overnight in the jail. And, you know, that would seem rather ominous if you were those two fellows. And the next day, this is what happened. This is now in chapter 4, Acts 4, verse 5. It says, "The next day the rulers, elders, and teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, and so were Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the other men of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them, 'By what power or what name did you do this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved.' When they saw the courage of Peter and John," I'm going to stop right there. Stop right there. You remember now that Peter used to have a different name, yeah? He was born, his parents named him Simon. which is from the Hebrew, Shimon, which means a prayer. It's a nice name for a child, a prayer. But Jesus said to him, no, I tell you, you are Petros, you are Peter, which means a pebble. Now, if your name used to mean a prayer, and now it means a pebble, would you feel kind of insulted by that? Or, you know, a little bit, you've been downgraded, you've been discounted. Well, Peter didn't feel that way because Jesus had just referred to himself as the Petra, the great and mighty rock. We know our salvation is built on Christ the rock. And he's saying that Peter is a pebble, he's a chip off of that block. So Peter rejoiced in that new name, and so did the other disciples around him. And so when I was reading this passage last night, I was reading it in my Greek New Testament, and Luke here in verse 4:13, he puts the definite article, the word the, in front of Peter's name, the Peter. Or literally, it says there, and beholding the boldness of the pebble. I love that. I love the way it says that. Beholding the boldness of the pebble and of John, and perceiving these men were not formally trained, and that they were idiotai, it says in Greek. Idiotai. You know that word. You've known that word all your life. It's idiots. The priests looked at these former Galilean fishermen, and they perceived them to be untrained idiots. That's how they felt about them, standing there. They despised them. They hated them and what they were saying and what they were doing. But the man that they had healed was standing there too. So there was nothing really that they could say. They themselves could not do what the pebble and John had done. Though they despised them, they could not compete with them either. Has it ever, throughout history, has it ever been different for those who faithfully answered God's call? Think of David. He was the youngest son, the youngest boy in a society that honored the oldest child. He was a shepherd, a shepherd's family. Elisha was a farmer. Nehemiah was a butler. Hannah, the mother of Samuel, the last great prophet of the theocracy, she said of herself, she described herself this way, as a housewife of sorrowful spirit. She said that she suffered from depression. We could go on. There have been tax collectors and rebel fighters, soldiers, teachers, preachers, people from all walks of life, heroes of the faith. Heroes of the faith. And what unites them? That they are all bound together by their calling, by their summons to serve in the mission of our Father in heaven. And outfitted with the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. What I'd like you to do now is to take a careful look at how God phrases this summons. We'll look at the way he did it with King Cyrus in the book of Isaiah, if you would. Open to Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 1. It says there, this is what the Lord says, Isaiah 45, 1. This is what the Lord says to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains and break down the gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Though you do not acknowledge me, I am the Lord and there is no other. Apart from me, there is no God. I will strengthen you. Look at the key elements there. They were in verse 4. The Lord said, for the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen. Because of the Lord's love for his children, and for the sake of the plan of salvation to rescue them, God says, I summon you by name. Well, you might be thinking, that was very nice for Cyrus, and also for guys like Peter and John, but it does not mean too much for me. No, no, no. You're forgetting something. You're forgetting a very important statement by Christ. It's quoted for us in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. In John 10, verses 2 and 3, Jesus is speaking. And he says, the man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep, how? By name, and leads them out. Christ, the Lord, calls each one of us by name, just like with Cyrus. We are summoned by name. We are commissioned, each one of us, in the Father's service by name. We are not just a part of some great mass of humanity and lost in the crowd. Not to our Father, we are not. We are sons. We are daughters, like little Sophia today. Dearly loved and cared for. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 24, it says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. Your life is not an accident. This is one of the great harms of evolutionist thinking. Evolutionary theory is a philosophy at heart that says that you, yourself, are nothing but an accident. Isn't that what evil always does? It never uplifts humanity. It always lowers it to its base, and he floods it with discouragement. But Christ doesn't do this. He calls us. Each son, each daughter of God, by name. He summons us to step forward. And for the sake of all his children and for the sake of all the poor lost souls on this earth, he asks us to direct the attention of confused and discouraged hearts everywhere towards him, towards their Father in heaven, to Christ, their Savior, and to help them find a purpose in their lives too. What does God want us to do? This is what Tozer was saying at the beginning of this sermon. God is looking for men in whose hands his glory is safe. He wants us to attract the attention of those about us and direct that attention to him, the source of all help and healing and peace. That's the job. That's the job. That's the mission. Now for the very inquisitive among you. Some might wonder, can a Christian decline a directive from God? Decline to go on a mission. God holds out his glory to you and he says, here, use this in my service. Here you go. And you say, no thanks. Can a Christian decline a mission from God? Well, we all possess free will, so of course you can. But if you asked Jonah about it, I doubt he would recommend it to you. The same principle is at work in the secular world. When we lived in Ireland, I had the opportunity of visiting an Irish traffic court. I was summoned. Despite the circumstances, it ended up being a rather pleasant experience. Kind of enjoyable. The Irish are just kind of fun to listen to when they're trying to get out of something. The judge was a man of great humor. And so everything was going well. It went well for every single one of us who had showed up in response to our summons. We each received a witty and literate wave of mercy from his judicial hand, except for one poor fellow, a man who did not appear before the court as he was called to do. His name was Red, No response. His name was read again. It was determined that he was not there. And on this man, the full weight of the Irish traffic justice fell. And believe me, it was severe. It was severe. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name. The word you is very personal, and it's singular. It's not the you all version. It's you singular. Now, there are times in God's kingdom to speak of we, and there are times in God's kingdom to just speak of me. A good illustration of this is in two consecutive psalms, and the first one is Psalm 115. If you'd like to see it with me, it's Psalm 115. Look at verses 14 through 18. Psalm 115, verse 14. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth is given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we. Here's that we moment. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. We extol the Lord. We praise his name as a body, as a congregation. We hold the ground now. It is our turn to make a difference on this earth. But right after this, the very next verse is, which is to a me. Psalm 116, verse 1. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Don't ever complain about your birth or your heritage or your training or your hometown and say, if I had just had a different lot in life, I could be something great. You are an individual child of God. Your steps have been ordered by your Father in heaven. You were called by name, not to be someone else, not to fulfill someone else's role in the plan of salvation. You are the only one who can be you. You are already the perfect size to fill your own shoes. I know that you exist for a higher purpose than many of your peers or maybe even your family perceive. Ask, and you will be guided. Seek, and you will find. For the sake of Jacob, my servant, of Israel, my chosen, I summon you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. Let's pray together. Lord, you really are our Father. You know each one. You know each heart. You know each pain today that's being felt. You know each joy that's been celebrated. Lord, I pray that as we go away from this place, that thought remains, that you are our ever-present Savior, that you care about each thing that matters here in our lives, and that you are striving to save us. I pray you would help us to have that willing heart that responds, that looks to you, that is happy to serve in response to all that you've done for us. Bless each dear soul here today, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.